Now, I know that phrase is controversial. There is some controversy among solid Christians, scholars on both sides, as to what that term actually signifies. Some scholars would say, particularly those third-wave Pentecostals, would say, well, the proper term is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Traditional Pentecostals say, well, it actually should really be baptism of the Holy Spirit. I am not going to spend 2 hours lining up the arguments on either side of that thing today. I'll put it in my blog and put a link to it on Facebook. You can access it there. I will say this. I've been studying this thing for 28 years. And I truly, as God is my witness, I truly respect both sides. There are sincere, intelligent scholars on both sides of the issue of what to call this thing is. But the bottom line is, one day I'm going to stand before God and answer for what I preach. And so as long as I'm in this pulpit, I'm going to call it like I see it. Frankly, I think that's what it's supposed to be called, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When God immerses you and saturates you with the power of the Holy Spirit, like He has done for so many of the great men in the history of the church, like D.L. Moody and R.A. Torrey and Charles Spurgeon and John Wesley, when he said, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." Praise God. So I'm going to call it like I see it. Acts 19:6. Let's look at this thing. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. I love that. That word, man, that just grabs my heart. When Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit, say it with me, came upon them. Other places in the book of Acts, it says that the Holy Spirit fell upon them. You know, and I've said this before, you know when something falls upon you. Nobody has to tell you, "Hey, buddy, I think something just fell on you." The Holy Spirit came upon them, and as a result of the Spirit coming upon them, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. That was a tangible, experiential dynamic. In other words, something happened to them guys. They experienced the power of God, and as a result, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, we've talked about the fact that when you're saved, the Holy Spirit does in fact come in and dwell in you. But that's not what this is talking about here. The purpose of the Holy Spirit indwelling you is to basically transform you into the image of Christ. He does that. He's alive inside of there. He begins to change your desires. He begins to change your motives. He begins to change your affections. And the Holy Spirit indwells you. He transforms you and makes you like Christ. But the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is to empower you to help others be transformed into the image of Christ. The indwelling ministry of the Spirit is to transform you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is to empower you to do ministry to others. That's why He sent it, so that we would be witnesses unto Him. Now, it goes back to Acts chapter 1, way back at the beginning of this story, where Jesus said, "But you shall receive what?"
Power.
What?
Power.
Say it like it is. Power. You shall receive power. Let me say this. If you receive power, you're going to know it. Stick a metal knife in a outlet socket and see if you don't feel something coming through that metal. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has done what? Come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. Now that word power is the Greek word dunamis. It's the word that we get our word dynamite from. It means power. And when you do a study of this word dunamis in the New Testament, using Englishman's Concordance or something like that, you will find that pretty much in every case where that word is used in regards to the Holy Spirit, it has to do with miraculous power. That's the definition of dunamis. It means miraculous power, the power to do supernatural things or act in a supernatural way. That's why we call it dynamite. It is the dynamic power of God. And if you look at every use of that in the New Testament, now sometimes it's used to talk about the force of an army, like a military type of a term, which I think is cool too. We're the army of God. That's what He sent us out with. But But when it talks about the power of God in terms of that word dunamis, it's used to pretty much talk about the miraculous supernatural power of God that is manifested when people walk in that anointing of the Holy Spirit. So there is something, the Holy Spirit is in you when you're saved, and it comes upon you when you receive this endowment of power from on high. Let me just show you, give you an example. This is you. This is you with the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. When you are saved, you have the living water of God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in you. Okay? When you experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit or are baptized in this Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit then comes upon you and fills you to overflowing. And then you experience the fullness of God overflowing in an experiential way. Anybody want to get wet? It's indoor, outdoor. Don't worry about it. It's worth the illustration. That is what it's all about. If you can imagine you experiencing this, that's what that is all about. Amen? That is refreshing. Praise God. Ah. I would pour it, but I'm wired. Yeah, we'll see some power, all right. What little hair I have left will be standing straight up. Praise God. That's what it means. And as that power comes upon you, what happens to the glass? It becomes full, overflowing. Full to overflowing. Our Lord loves you immensely, and He wants you to experience this. Jesus said, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Praise God. Are you thirsty today? Hallelujah. You know, I've talked about great men in the history of the church who have sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Some sought it and received it immediately. Some, like D.L. Moody, had to seek it for months and months and months. And then it hit him on the streets of New York City when he wasn't expecting. He had to get off the street. He said, he prayed God to actually stop it at that point because he thought he was going to die. But his ministry was transformed, and he literally shook the world with the gospel after that. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So let me sum up with this. Number one, we said there are folks like these disciples of John who were baptized with the baptism that they really didn't understand. If you were to ask them on the street, they had no idea what it was all about. They didn't know back then, and they have very little clue right now, other than their parents made them do it. I have rebaptized many people who said, you know, I got baptized, but it really didn't mean anything then. Now the gospel means something. Would you do me the honor of rebaptizing me? Because I want to tell the world I've got a new life inside of me. Number two, there is a baptism for believers who wish to follow Christ and to testify to the world and to God and to themselves that they are now a new creature in Christ Jesus. They've died to sin and they're alive to God. And all true believers are commanded, actually, to be baptized in such a way. The Lord Himself said so. And finally, number three, there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit which empowers believers to do mighty works for God. And if your heart is set on Him and you're ready to set aside the sin and you want to be empowered so that you can minister to others for the glory of God, it's not just so you can get high in church. I mean, friend, really, let's get real. It's not just so you can get a buzz in church that's legal that you can't get arrested for. This is to empower you for ministry so that you can encounter God on a level that you have never known Him before, and then take that experience and use it to minister to other people. It is a holy and a sacred thing. We don't want to diminish that at all. But if you want to live for God with all your heart, and you want to, if you have purified your heart and you said, I want to live for you, God, empower me to live for you, I know the Lord would love for you to experience the depths and the fullness of His power. And I would encourage you to seek that. You can start today. You can continue. But it's diligently worth the pursuit. Praise God. So if we'll just go to the Lord in prayer right now as we close. And I just want to say, is there any business you want to do with God today? There is no better time you're going to find this week than today, right now, to do business with the Lord. We're all gathered together in His name. People who love you very much are here to give themselves to you for whatever part we can play in meeting your needs in this way. But if there's business you want to do with God today, let's take a moment and just do business with God. If you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and by faith just received Him and say, God, Lord Jesus, save me. If you've never done that, today is the day. Now is the time to do that. If you've done that, but maybe you've been holding back and said, God, you know, I've been playing games with you. I want to really, truly live for you. I want to do what you want me to do. And whatever cost was too high yesterday, today it's not too high anymore. I mean business today, God. Help me to live for you 100%. Or maybe you've been following Him with all your heart and you love Him like you love no other thing in this world. But you would love to experience the fullness of His power in your life. You would love to feel that dunamis, that dynamite from on high, so that you can reach other people more effectively and demonstrate the fullness of His power more effectively. Today is the day to go to Him and say, God, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, fill me. Fill me, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you are worthy. We sang it a moment ago. You are worthy of my obedience, of my delight, of my affection. I will never be ashamed of you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. And I'm hungry and thirsty for you. God, feed me. Fill me, Lord. Transform me. I want nothing else but you. Show me what it means to walk with you and know you and love you. Show me today, God. And let's just spend a minute in His presence and just really seek His face. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm here to do business, God. I'm here to put away everything that stands between me and you. I don't know where I'm going to get the strength to do it the rest of the day or tomorrow or the next day, but God, I know you have the power to do it inside of me. And so I'm casting my hopes and cares upon you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do today? Thank you, Lord. If there's anything we can pray for you about, we're going to take some time just to open up this altar. Is there anything we can pray, go to the Lord with you about, that you would like Him to do in your life so you can be closer to Him and know Him more abundantly? Feel free to simply come forward and we would be delighted to pray with you. Or even just to raise your hand and just say, pray for me. I'm doing business with God. Pray for me that would be complete.